hell was the grave. And it was like 3 or 4 years after my grandfather died, Grandpa Hoffman, and they said hell was a grave. I said, oh man, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have put Grandpa, I would have complained about Grandpa being buried in a cemetery. We stuck him in hell. We should have hung him from a tree or something. Okay, and of course, you know, the guy didn't see the sense of humor in that one. And so then sometimes I feel that when you're dealing with somebody, you don't have to argue the whole point about somebody dying and going to hell and suffering forever. I just said to him, well, what's worse? Dying and going to hell and you're gone, out of existence for eternity, which is what they teach. Or getting a new earth. Well, I said, well, obviously that one's... I said, so still it's better to, you know, get to new earth or, you know, and stuff like that. And but then you had to try to show them, okay, that's gotten by grace, not by your works. Okay, so Luke chapter 16 is a story that Jesus Christ is telling. It is a true story because in parables, in all of the parables that Jesus Christ did say, often either the narrative calls it a parable or Jesus might call it a parable. And in all the parables, he doesn't name names. Okay, he's very generic. You know, this guy and this guy, a householder, and this guy, and so forth. This one, we have a name, Lazarus. Now, I don't think, I doubt it's not the same guy that was risen from the dead. Okay, so verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Okay, here the rich is a fine linen, high-class material, okay, because obviously they're mooching off the people, and so they've got the money. And this rich guy, now in James chapter 2, the rich guys there are clothed in gay apparel. Okay, that's the only time the word gay is found in the Bible. I would say it is a prophecy of who is going to be in key positions of governing structures the closer we get to Christ. And if you just look at the Obama administration, if you look at Clinton's administration, you'll see that that is very true. Okay, and the mayor of Houston, lesbian. And so you're going to see this is more and more true. Okay, and so this is a rich man. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. So he's a beggar. You don't see true beggars in America that are, you know, either blind or deformed or something like that. In many of the cities, the beggars there are people that, you know, are fine and dandy. They just don't want to get a job. And so I saw some of these in Israel. And then there is a problem also in Israel where sometimes you see little children come up to you that were definitely handicapped, begging for some coins, and a person's heart would go out to them. And I asked Ron Wyatt about it when we were there, and he said, I encourage you not to give anybody anything. Unless, you know, you give them the loaf of bread, a piece of bread that I had instead of food. He said, sadly, some of these parents purposely deform their children because they can beg better. That is unnatural. That's unnatural. Okay, in Vietnam, Mike Roberts definitely said, don't give anything to anybody. You know, he said, you're not helping them. Okay, and so if you feel led to help somebody, that's between you and the Lord. And do it a one-on-one, that would be the best. Okay, so Lazarus is a guy that is laying around. Verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Okay, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Now notice, it doesn't say Lazarus was buried. And I was just thinking about that. I said, nah, he probably could have been. Maybe the narrative just didn't write that. But what if the dogs ate him? If they're licking his sores, and then come time to lick his sores, and he got, you know, just chewed on him for a while. But you don't know. I kind of doubt it. But one of the real disgraceful things that God does to a people is that he doesn't allow a decent burial. Okay, in the Old Testament, when God wanted to really smack some people around, when they died, he would say, you're going to be a beast, you're going to be a beast of the fields are going to eat you, or the dogs, like the dogs ate Jezebel. Okay, and that is like the last really wham, right in her face. Okay, and so in the Bible, a decent burial is the practice of the Jewish customs. In our culture, it definitely is a practice in our culture to have a decent burial. Generally in a church, used to be that almost all the churches would have the funeral in the churches. And it used to be that many, if not most of the churches had their own cemetery. Okay, which is, you know, you don't see that much anymore. It's usually a very old church that does have a cemetery. Jan's home church had a cemetery. Okay, and so, and then almost always, if you find the old cemeteries, the caskets will be laid in an east-west laying down. So the person, as they rise, they'd rise to the east because Jesus is coming from the east. Okay, so that is a general rule. Okay, where now the funeral business has become big money, okay, and they usually have put people on a guilt trip. This is the last thing you can do for your loved one. Yeah. Well, I kind of like Mike Pearl's idea, is that Mike's made his own casket. And right now he's using it for a shelf, where the door, you open it and use it for shelves and stuff. So I kind of like that idea. I kind of think, you know, make one out of a log. If I live in a log house, log casket, that sounds good to me, but I don't have to really use a chainsaw to, you know, get it out and everything. Okay, but still, the idea is the funerals are so high-priced. And so now you've gotten to a point where people are talking cremation. Okay, cremation. Now, most people are doing it nowadays because of the cost. That's the most reason of it, and people say, is it right or wrong? I really don't think it matters. Okay, I do believe that the best ideal is to run it through a church. That's the best and the ideal thing to do, and that's the best time for the gospel to be preached. Okay, a lot of times, you know, guys don't even mention the gospel at that time, and it's also a very amazing time how holy the person was when you kind of knew him and wasn't real holy. You're thinking there's somebody else he's talking about. Okay, and so I would dare say the best rule of thumb if a person can is have it in the church. Some folks, I heard one guy's argument against cremation. He said that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, you're not even there anymore. And if that's the case, if I die out at sea, then the fish ate the Holy Ghost, or the temple of the Holy Ghost, because that's where it's going to be. And so the Lord is the one who knows the elements of our body, and he's going to put them all back together and give us a brand new body. So that's God Almighty, what he's able to do. So the rich man, he had a burial, some decent burial, and everybody probably bragged about this rich man, all the good things he did, and all this bragging about him. And he's in hell probably listening, or he could hear some of it through the screams. Okay, and he'd probably say, and he has a different idea of it, as we'll get to his idea a little bit later. I remember going to a Catholic funeral, and those are about as interesting as a Catholic wedding, and as long. And tribulation, the great tribulation time period, who will go to heaven, and the rich man is a picture of either the Antichrist or the rich that support him.
Luke chapter 16.
Okay, verse 27, he says, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to
the lesbian mayor in Houston. Anybody hear that story?
So we see now the rich man now
all the, a bunch of preachers concerned about bringing in their sermons and
now
that stuff.
He is thinking about eternity.
Backtracked on that one.
Too late.
That's the intent.
Okay, and he says this, for I have five brethren. I got five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place.
The blessing, you got out 100 Bibles of the third edition.
A lot of times young people would say, well, I'm just going to go to hell, you know, and party with my friends.
Of them since
no, the bumper sticker reads that the party in hell is canceled due to fire.
They send another 100 tomorrow someplace.
So, and that's true.
Well, that's a blessing.
Okay, and so your friends can't be down there. You won't have any friends down there, and it's going to be a terrible, terrible place. Now, how bad is it going to get if you run a bunch of references on this? It's going to get it's beyond just the idea of fire. It's beyond that. It's where God destroys the soul. Okay, where he said in Matthew 10, fear not him who's able to kill the body, but fear him who's able to destroy body and soul in hell. Now, that doesn't mean annihilate. Okay? Man usually gets things cattywampus. Man says that we evolve from an amoeba, we evolve from a puddle, and we're evolving into a paradise. The Bible teaches that we began in paradise, and we're devolving into a puddle, into a worm. Where Mark chapter 9, verse 44, 46, 48, three identical verses where it says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire shall not be quenched. The NIV takes two out of the three verses out. Their worm, and you run that throughout the Bible, and you'll see that their worm is a reference to the final state of the wicked. In hell.
He'd lost a lot of weight.
Where if the believer gets a body like their Savior, the unbeliever gets a body like their God.
Yeah.
A red serpent. And so man will begin to devolve downward eventually to end up like a red worm. Scientists discovered in the late 70s, I think it is, that there is what's called a red glow worm.
You know,
in the depths of the ocean, and this worm can withstand heats of 3 to 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's for sure.
I think it's red. Okay, Luke 16, and if you would go to subsist on sulfur.
We'll take a little poll here.
Which is fire and brimstone.
Jude 22.
Is that somebody from the past? I don't know. It could be. And is it maybe God putting somebody so out of their misery? I don't know, but there is definitely
doctrinally Jude as a prophet.
So that'd be bad enough.
But still.
So now the individual is
now
this individual
says,
is concerned about soul
compassion,
for the family,
making a difference,
and he's thinking
and
the others
save.
He
with
thinks,
fear,
well, if somebody miraculously come back, they're going to listen.
Okay, hating even the garment spot.
No, that in the case.
So
Abraham saith unto them.
The basic thought on that is
they have
that,
Moses and the prophets.
There's two approaches.
Let them hear them.
Okay, to people. This one
okay,
is
what did they have up until this time?
So you
the Bible of that day
just because they know
is Genesis
really
to Malachi.
Care for them.
Moses,
okay, and then
Genesis,
others,
Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers,
need, spiritual
and the prophets, all the way into Malachi.
Knows or something like that.
So here Abraham says,
God.
They get a Bible.
Okay, so when
they got a Bible,
think back when you got saved.
And then he, of course, is debating it.
One of
he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went
salvation.
Unto them from the dead, they will repent.
Was the number one one of him,
if
were you afraid of
they
going
will not
to hell,
hear Moses and the prophets, neither,
or was it that you just
will they be
saw
persuaded
your the
one wanted
the
Jesus
dead.
Christ?
Okay, how many say you were actually...
And this is
one
little hitch.
He was afraid he was going to.
And if you remember Sam Gipps' idea,
his
thoughts,
that
possibly
how many others felt
dead that are resurrected beyond earth for 40 days and then the rapture. So we're about half and half. Okay,
this is one little hitch is that people ain't going to believe
those are
either.
The basic two approaches.
But it might be God's last...
Well,
yeah,
I gave
you
the book,
and a lot of people's soul-winning methods are basically...
If you don't do this, you're going to split hell wide open.
Okay, and so... This puts
and technically,
weight,
no, nobody's going to split the responsibility on somebody that dies and goes to hell, drops in hell like a little pebble
puts it
drops
on man.
In
the Atlantic
They get a
Ocean.
Book. They get a book.
Okay, this idea of splitting hell wide
and
open.
He says
like,
they don't. If they're not going to hear most of the prophets, neither
splash?
Will they be persuaded. The one rose.
Okay,
from and so those are the
and you
two
see,
approaches.
This is what the church. This
okay.
is the same
and
idea
so Luke
the contemporary
16,
church is going on.
Verse 19.
See, this
they
is
don't
the,
want the old
story,
traditional things
in
the Bible.
Just the Bible and stuff like that.
And so they're trying to make. And it is not called
and then
a parable.
People will come to the Lord because
the word parable is not
stuff.
In the story.
If they're not going to read what it says in
and
the book, they're not
going to
do
if
it.
You deal
if
with
you
the Jehovah's Witness about this story,
stuff.
They will call
it's
this
the bottom
a
line is
and
the
scholarly
need
of
Jesus
say,
Christ, comparing yourself to Jesus Christ, we fall far short.
And that's how
so
they say it.
See that great need of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would honor him by receiving him.
And
we would
okay,
honor
so,
him by believing
but it's not
his
a parable.
Words instead of calling the
Now, I would talk to J.W.
Like
one time about the idea of going to
okay,
hell
so that's,
and all this stuff.
And,
end of chapter 16.
First, they said that.